Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, baby boy. Can you hear her now?
Hey, it's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Listen, before we start the show, let me just tell you all, right? If you subscribe to Gas Digital, okay, you get access to the hundreds of thousands of that awesome podcast that we got, baby boy, okay? All right? And let me just tell you, you don't know this, and I don't like to talk about it, baby boy, but I grew up poor, and you know, my mom, my dad was stabbed. And one time, there was a lottery ticket that my mom always played the same numbers. And we didn't put the fucking numbers on this time. It was really fucking sad. How you doing, Michael Bisping, over there in California, eh? Fucking love California, by the way.
Hello, hello. I am Michael Bisping. I'm just sitting here drinking me my protein drink. Oh, hold on. I got to take my glasses off. Oh. I'm sorry, me eyes seem to pop out of me socket.
Baby boy, you got a little issue there, mate. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's happened to your fucking accent either. Hold on, I'm doing a cockney. Hold on. It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. I don't know what's going on with your eye there, bro, but you lost your fucking eye.
Yeah,
what's
mate.
What's going on?
Yeah, mate, and you know, I hate to blow my own horn here, but, you know, I was in some wars, and this is why I do not like cheats. I do not like steroid abusers. I do not like people who use performance-enhancing drugs, because look what happened to me. I used to be a handsome young bloke, and now I look like a freak.
Harrington, just pulled it up. And all you sick fans back there, can you all run across New York City for me? Grab me some props. I'll sit here. I'll boss everybody about. Did you know I had ADD? Did you know that? Did you know I'm going to call you at 8 o'clock in the morning? And I'm going to, why do I keep doing a Cockney accent? What the fuck is going on? Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is a nightmare. I can't do the show like this the whole time. It's going to be a fucking problem.
Well, let me just tell you. Amazon fucking suck. This bald cap is fucking awful.
Okay? I can see the hair.
Yeah, it's see-through. It's see-through. Jeff Bezos, you sell subpar products. I even had to get a clip on the back. Look.
Yeah. Jesus. You look like a fucking pirate. This is a Michael Bisping costume I purchased from the Halloween store. I bought this. That's not what skank hands are. That's upside down. Just fucking.
What do you mean?
It's got to do the thumbs. The thumbs are crossed. There you go. I really like your Louis J. Gomez costume. Also, your vape pen is officially dead.
I know. Thank God. Otherwise, I'd be high as fuck right now.
All right, I have to take this off. I'm sorry.
Boy, baby boy, you're going to make headlines all over the place again. Michael Bisping removes his eyeball. And the guy was full of shit because I see your eyes fine. There you go. A lot of people speculating that I'm full of shit. I'm not full of shit, you fucking assholes. Okay, if we're removing... I got to say, though, Luis, you look good with hair, bro. You look good with hair.
I miss having hair. I was on a podcast in LA. When I was in LA, I was on Jeremiah Wonder's podcast. Pull up that picture of me with my long pink hair. I might change my look. I might just start wearing wigs because I look fucking great.
Hold on, you ready? You ready for the grand unveiling? Whoa, there he is. I tell you what, that latex rubber thing makes you sweat. I am sweating like a maniac. Let me ask you something, Luis. Okay, all right. I see what you did there. You went for whiteface. Whiteface. I mean, isn't technically that should be as bad as doing blackface. You are racist, Lewis. I mean, it is technically, it is the same thing, right?
First of all, baby boy, I'll fucking do blackface. I don't give a shit. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm my own boss, okay? Second of all, no, it's not as bad as doing blackface. Doing whiteface was never something that was done in order to fucking disparage people. I just look like a ghost.
Were you there in Africa times? Okay, when the English went over and colonized
times,
it?
There's no such thing as Africa times.
oldie worldy Africa times when the white faced demons came and we invaded the lands and we conquered. They would get together in the evening, okay, around their fires and stuff, and they would make their faces white and they would mock us highly. And I take offense at that, Lewis. It's true. Take a lot of offense.
I mean, you're right. I'm with you. You should be offended. This is very racist. This is it's also I realize like how bad Halloween makeup makes my skin break out. I'm sweating right now. It's like clogging up my pores. So I'm a little bit hotter right now than I need to be. It's a goddamn nightmare. Halloween, I've dressed up way too much this week. I've had multiple costumes, 3 costumes this year.
What have you dressed up as this week? Why have you dressed up this week? And I mean, of course, it's the 30th today. Halloween is tomorrow. Why have you, as a grown man, dressed up several times already?
I did on Monday night Legion of Skanks. I was you actually saw that picture, right? I was Big J with Dave Smith on his shoulders, which was great.
That was actually an awesome costume. That was very, very funny. Although a little bit nasty to your buddy Dave Smith, but still, I'm sure he saw the funny side. Welcome to the show, everybody. Me and Lewis acting like idiots there. That was an epic fail. I thought, it's easy. All I got to do is get a bald cap, put some shades on, get a vape pen. And I should have done my beard more, but as I say, I'm going away at the weekend and I'm not willing to commit that much to a joke that's going to last 10 seconds that isn't really going to hit. But
I think it hit. First of all, I think that people are going to be very into that segment. That's it. That's going to be a clip this week. That's a clip. Mark it down. 1 minute in.
Podcasting genius. That was history right there. We made history. We set the bar so high. Joe Rogan, Brendan Schaub, Fighter and the Kid, Theo Vaughn, whoever else has a big successful podcast, that's how you do it. That is how you do it. You spend $2.99 on Amazon. You get some old glasses. I've had these glasses, by the way, for about, I would say, 15 years. And they looked as shit then as they do now. That's why I've still got them. Generally, sunglasses don't last me more than I would say. If I own a pair of sunglasses for 6 months, then that's good.
That's a win.
I mean? That's why I always say I'm not going to buy expensive sunglasses again. But of course, I find myself wandering through the mall. I go into Sunglass Hut. I look at them. They got some bullshit 20% offer on. I'm like, oh, okay. Because as a man, I feel like accessory-wise, a pair of sunglasses isn't too bad. You know what I mean? But I don't like to spend $300 on a piece of shitty molded plastic. And there he is.
I'm back.
He's back. I'm back. How much did they cost?
I bought these on Amazon for $20. They're decent. I own a few pair of nice ones now at this point. But you're right. It's almost like an umbrella. Like, nobody's buying an expensive, nice umbrella. You buy the shittiest umbrella possible, okay? And that's that. Because you're going to leave it in a taxi. You're going to leave it in a store. You're going to leave it somewhere. So I'm 100% with you, Mr. Bisping. I don't buy nice things anyway. That's not what I want to spend my money on. I'd rather spend my money on an experience, not like a fucking accessory. I'm not a chick.
Well, I don't mind a couple of nice things. I feel if you work hard, it's nice to have a couple of nice little luxuries. But as a man, you got to take it easy. I mean, I like some decent clothing. I like, you know, a nice pair of sunglasses, a decent watch, but that's about it. I don't get too crazy. You know what I mean? With that whole side of things.
Michael,
but,
can you please, and I really mean this, it's going to sound really bad, but can you please just give me one of your nice watches that you never wear? There's no reason for you to have 12 nice fucking watches. Meanwhile, I'm over here. I have one shit watch that now has a little chip in it now. So now I don't even have a nice. I don't even have, and I thought it was nice. When I bought that watch for $400 before I filmed my special, I was like, I'm really spending something on myself right now. You should have seen me. I was showing people my watch multiple times.
I have a beautiful watch case upstairs which holds 12 beautiful watches. And you're right, I don't need them because generally I don't even wear one. I'm not wearing one.
You can't even tell time.
I need those 12 watches, though, simply because when I walk into my walk-in closet and I look at them, it gives me a sense of well-being, a sense of success. I look at them. I ponder at the watches. I lift them up. I go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I go, no, I'm not going to wear any of them today. That's how spoiled I am. I have them all there. I have them all, but I'm not going to wear a single one of them, okay?
Go get them. Go get the watches. Show them on the show. I want. It's going to be a fucking QVC shopping experience. I want to see the Bisping watch collection. I do understand what you're saying.
I'm asking to get myself robbed here big time. Do you know what I mean? I'm saying, why did some armed robbers break into the house at 4 o'clock in the morning and know exactly where to go for the watches?
Upstairs in the walk-in closet.
In the closet, by the side, there you go, next to the shoes. Boom, baby boy. You're welcome. I was going to give my address there, but slow it down.
Ease up, Mr. Bisping. There is something about that, though. You're right, because I've been trying to budget things a little bit better lately. I've been going through, like, things in my life that I'm spending money on, and this is going to sound very douchey, but my new assistant... my assistant was like, God damn it. Oh, no.
Whoa! Douchebag alert! Oh my God. Lewis has officially gone to the dark side. Oh my God. My assistant. You know what? To be honest, Lewis, I'm a very busy man, and people have flirted with the idea of me having an assistant on many occasions. My wife, who kind of in itself is my assistant, I said, Michael, you need an assistant. You need an assistant. Certainly when I was traveling all the time and, you know, la-di-da, I've got book tours, I've got movie premieres, I've got this to go to, but I haven't got time to do the day-to-day things. She's like, you need an assistant. And in fact, it'll be tax deductible, okay? But I'm like, no, okay? I am not that guy. I am not having some little run around, go do my laundry, go clean my car, nip and do this errand, okay? I don't need that, okay?
That's not what she does.
I take care of it. I take care of my life. Okay, Lewis? Okay? But you just want to have an assistant simply because... Hold on. Before I say anything, how long have you had the assistant?
Like 2 weeks.
Okay. I was going to say, if you'd have said a day, and yet you're mentioning that you have the assistant already. It's been a day, and you're mentioning you have the assistant. Okay, 2 weeks, that's not too bad. But a lot of people, they want to have assistants just so they can tell people that they have an assistant. You know what I mean? Because it gives them, well, they feel like it gives them a little clout. Like, I know a UFC fighter, I won't say his name, but he had 4 assistants. I'm like, you are a fucking dick.
Yeah.
4 assistants. What do you need 4 assistants for? My word. You know what I mean? It's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's not. She's actually, she doesn't even live in New York. She's remote. So it's not that type of, it's not like my personal stuff like that. It's all business stuff. It's all like booking flights, organizing my calendar, taking notes on meetings when we have phone meetings, things like that I would just never do. So then I have time to do things like laundry and fucking, you know.
Lewis is so big, you can't even book your own flight. You can't even, while you're sitting on the toilet, squeezing one out, you can't sit there and just go, you know, airport to airport on Google. You don't need apps. You don't need Expedia. This is the way to book flights, everybody. On your Safari, on your phone, just type it in Safari, wherever the origin to the destination, boom, Google flights up. It'll bring up the cheapest flight. Simple as that. That's the way I do it. It's great. Okay. And it takes literally 30 seconds. But no, you've got to have an assistant.
Can I tell you why? Because what I do is I put it off. And then I end up buying airline tickets 3 days in advance almost. Oh, Mike, by the way, I think I'm hearing myself coming through your speaker on your computer. Is it on?
No, you're absolutely right. Because you know what? I've got my headphones in, but they're not plugged in. So pardon me. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I heard it before and I wasn't sure, but I'd heard it again just now. No big deal. But my problem is I wait till the last minute to do it, and then I end up spending 3 times the amount of money I do on flights, and I'm just, dude, that for some reason, my ADD, that's the type of ADD that I have, whereas I just will put it off. I know I have to do it, and it gives me this sinking feeling inside when I have to do something like book a flight, or if I have to, like, do taxes, or I have to, like, put together financial information. It gives me, like, a legitimately, like, what was that movie, Get Out, The Sunken Place? Great movie, by the way. I don't know if you ever saw it.
No, never heard of it.
So good, dude. Maybe the best horror movie of recent times. Like, really, really good. It was by the guy from Key and Peele. whatever his name is. But great. You and Rebecca want to watch a really clever, cool horror movie.
Get Out. Get Out.
Yeah, I just said it.
Yeah, no, but you said Get Out something. Get Out the something movie.
The horror movie.
Well, I've seen Get Out. I've heard of Get Out. I've seen Get Out. But you went, Get Out, the sunken movie or something like that. Anyway, just going back to what you're saying real fast before you go off on a tangent, I know exactly what you're saying about flights. And this week we had similar scenario. As I mentioned, I'm going to be in Texas this weekend for the NASCAR event with the company Playland that I'm a partner in. So we're going to go down there. We've got, you know, we're the official game of NASCAR. We're on the track, all this. We've got these massive jumbotron screens. We've got booths, stalls, everything. So we're going to go down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very exciting. We're part of the production. I'm going to start the race. And anyway, so I got to, obviously, I need a flight to get to Texas. I pulled up the flight I wanted, I would say 4 weeks ago, to my buddy Jason from Playland. I'm like, there's my flight. Right? And back then, I think it was $500. Okay. Now, this week it comes down to it. He's like, oh, yeah. For some reason, it's not letting me book the flight. It's because he lives in Canada. He's using the fact that he lives in Canada. He says, Mike, can you book the flight? And we'll give it back to you out of the company money. When we see you on Saturday, we'll give you the money back. I'm like, all right, definitely. Don't fuck me about. All right, I'll do that. But Saturday, don't make me ask for it. Okay. You know what I mean? I hate to chase money that you said you're going to. So don't make me chase it. Saturday, when I see you, come up and give me an envelope with the cash in. So I go ahead, I book the flight. Now, of course, weeks have passed since we had this conversation, and now the flight's $1,600.
Jesus. Right?
And we said, yeah, it's jumped up. That's what happens. And I send him through the details, and he texts back immediately, how? I'm like, what do you mean? How? $1,600. It was $500 or $600 last time. So instantly, I get on the defensive and we start having a massive argument. I'm like, what? You think I'm trying to rip you off? You think I'm trying to like get the most expensive flight? I said, I'm a partner in this company as well. Whatever comes off the bottom line affects me also. Do you know what I mean? And then we got into this stupid argument. But had the flight been booked weeks ago, none of this would have happened.
Hey, man. You're the one who's working with a Canadian Jew. That's a lot to handle. The first time I met him, you were like, this is my Jewish friend, Jason.
There's a lot of Jewish stereotypes that aren't true. I'll tell you that. They're smart and they know how to make money. They know how to make money off people. I'll give them that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say before, though, about like trying to say, like feeling good, right? You're saying you look at your watches and you feel good about yourself. You're like, I just feel like accomplished, whatever it is. That's what my assistant said. I was trying to save money. And she's like, well, what about your Equinox membership? You can just go to a cheaper gym. Like, you know, you're spending a lot of money on that. And I was like, no. And she mentioned it two different times in the course of 2 weeks. And I was like, if you mention Equinox again, you're fucking fired. Equinox is not going anywhere. That is the one thing that I had. My last day job was at Equinox, and I said, I'm going to make enough money one day where I get to walk into a nice gym, have a nice fucking steam room, and I just feel really, really good about myself, even if I barely use it.
Yeah, it's like personal goals. That's a little moral victory. It's a pat on the back. It's a mental goal that you've reached. One day you will work there. She doesn't see that, Lewis. She doesn't see it from your perspective. And I feel like the fact that she's brought that up several times, that's like, it's a mini insult. When she's not with you, she's saying, Lewis, you know, he's trying to cut corners. He's trying to scrimp and save and all the rest of it, you know. But the main thing is this Equinox membership. He's so dumb. He could go to a regular gym, but he's just too big for his own boots. She's talking shit behind your back, Lewis.
I bet she is.
I'd summon a meeting and I'd demand to know why she keeps bringing up the Equinox. I would. In fact, get her on the phone right now.
Get her on the horn right now. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to get my assistant to get my assistant on the horn. Assistant number two. Yeah. So.
Do you know what's going on here?
We mean at your home?
No. Other than looking like a douche, that's me with the glasses on. No, crazy wildfires, man. And I know that's nothing new. I know that's nothing new for California, but they are really out of control right now. That's all that's on the news here because they are really, really bad. Nowhere near where I am.
I'm sorry. It's okay. But it's a weird. It's a weird thing because I don't have any. I don't have any type of fear. When I hear about that, it's hard to be empathetic toward it. And I'm not saying it in a mean way. What I'm saying is, it's very difficult for me to wrap my head around that being a real problem. And I know it is. It's almost like a tornado. I can't even imagine somebody being like, a tornado's heading this way. And me being like, we got to get out of here. I'm like, fuck this stupid tornado. Shut up. When the hurricane hit New York, the huge one years ago that it had like the whole island out, the power was out. People were like evacuating, and I was like, in my mind, like nothing could possibly go wrong. But I just have an unweird, because I live in the city, I have a weird, unnatural lack of fear of natural disasters.
Well, yeah, me too, kind of. Because if you remember, and I told the story, so I won't go into it, but for our new listeners, because we are growing all the time and we appreciate it. Remember in the GSP camp a few weeks before I had to fly out to New York. We actually mandatory got evacuated. We got evacuated then, which I ignored, and that paid off. So fortunately, I just done a hard training session. I just knocked out multiple sparring partners in one go. I needed to take a nap. So whilst everybody was evacuating the city, driving out, I was the only one driving in. And when I got there, Rebecca was like, Michael, we need to evacuate. She was getting all the valuables in boxes and photographs and anything like that. I'm like, nah, we're good. We're good. And we both took a nap. And then we woke up like, shit, check the news. Fortunately, we weren't on fire. We were alive. So right now, I think there's 800 firemen, about 20 helicopters, 20 planes. And the problem is because the winds are just insane. So they're collecting the water. I think they're called super scoopers. And then they're trying to drop the water on the flames. But the winds are out of control. And you can actually see it on the news. They're dropping the water. I mean, look at that. That's from the 405
freeway. Jesus Christ. Yeah. It looks like hell. It literally looks like hell.
It literally does look like hell. It's insane. You know, you can see the smoke everywhere. It's really bad. Fortunately, as I say, nowhere near us. But as I was saying, the winds are so bad. So when they drop the water, the winds are just evaporating it pretty much. So it's not having any effect. Like it's not dropping on the target zone and making it wet. It's just frittering into the air because the winds are absolutely out of control. And of course, with the winds, the fires are spreading like crazy as well. So the fires are spreading at a rate much higher than they can extinguish them. So it's a real bad problem.
I mean, is it the end of the world? Well, I'm saying, is it sort of that? Like, what is going on? I didn't hear about wildfires destroying California when I was a kid, but we didn't have social media back then. We didn't have Twitter. The news didn't travel that fast. Like, local news was like the big deal.
Bro. How old are you? You're 35 years old.
37.
When I was a kid, you know, we used to get our news via pigeon carrier. You know, you're not that old, okay? Right? Yes, social media wasn't a thing back then, but you had news. You had newspapers. You had TVs. You know, you had satellite. You had cable. You had all that type of stuff.
But you had to be very motivated back then in order to get news. To get news, you had to be motivated to go get news. And as a kid, was I fucking motivated to go watch the 6 o'clock news? Was I motivated to go read a newspaper? No, not at all. Now social media is integrated into everybody's life. It's in your hands. You're always on your phone. It's essentially an extension of your body. You just get news in your feed. You find out that Trump is fucking being investigated for impeachment. I don't fucking care about that stuff. I never look, but I know because it's always in my stupid face. So we're more, it's the funniest thing ever because we're more aware of things like that than we have ever been before, but we are so much less actually in tune with the details of those stories because you don't actively have to go get it. It's just sort of in your face. So everyone just reads headlines and thinks they know everything.
Well, no, you're absolutely right because I'm going to bring something up where I just read a headline. True to exactly what you just said. Cause you're like, I don't remember these wildfires 30 years ago. And I'm like, yeah. Global warming is out of control right now. And I read, admittedly, a headline, and then I did delve into the story a little bit. They're saying by the year 2050, a lot of cities around the world are going to be underwater. I may have sent it through. I don't think I sent the link. Like cities like Bangkok are going to be completely submerged. 30 years time, and a lot of these top scientists all sign off on that. In 30 years time, a ton of cities, I think it was equivalent to 200 million people, their homes right now, 200 million people around the world in 30 years time will be completely underwater. And we've seen this before, you know, the lost city of Atlantis.
Waterworld. Kevin Costner, Waterworld, one of the biggest movie flops of all time, baby boy. Seems like a good world to me.
that's where we're heading. You know what I mean? The man with gills. You know, I mean, we're all going to have gills. I mean, Harrington's halfway there anyway. He's a slime subspecies creature as it is. He'll do just well underwater. He is pond life. He is pond scum. Brian, you know, you're okay. You're a little cleaner. Lewis, right now, with that outfit on, you're looking a little suspect yourself as well. I reckon you could slide into the bacteria, no problem.
Yeah, I don't even know what I look like right now. Here's the funniest part is anybody who misses the first 5 minutes of this podcast, they're like, what the fuck is Lewis doing? Yeah, like I look like I'm like a dead movie agent. I have no idea. Look, the global warming thing, I don't really know. Here's the truth. And neither do you, Mr. Bisping. Let's talk about this.
It's 105 degrees in fucking November, pretty much, okay? Right? In winter, things are freezing up. The temperatures are getting more extreme. Anybody that says there's no such thing as global warming, you're fucking idiots. Scientists around the world all say that it's a real thing. Me? I'm just a man. I sit here, I do my podcast, I have my knee surgeries, I dabble in a bit of this, I dabble in a bit of that, but I keep in my lane. But I do read online, so I don't really know. I'm just spoon-fed information. I try and vary my sources. I don't go to one place for my news. I don't just sit and watch CNN. I don't sit and watch Fox. I browse. I look around. I try and be well-informed. And the powers that be, the clever people on this earth, the type of people that can create electric cars, send a man to the moon, you know, beam this. The fact that we're talking to each other, you're in New York and I'm here. Smart people develop these systems. Men of science, way smarter than myself, sign off and say, the earth is getting warmer and we're going to die. And I believe them.
Maybe. I don't know. I just think that there's also probably scientists that would dispute that. I know that there have been. The point I'm making is I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. We read the headlines. We get the fear inside of us. And then we buy the magazine. We buy the newspaper. We turn on the news again. We click on that website again because we are being sold fear. And I just don't really buy it. Fine. Let's say global warming is a real thing. Let's say it's a real thing. What are we doing to stop it, Mr. Bisping? You believe it. What are you doing right now to combat global warming? What changes have you made in your life, in your lifestyle, besides not eating pork and drinking anymore?
I'm vegetarian. I've been vegetarian now for almost 2 weeks.
Does that help global warming?
Oh my God, massively. The agricultural, you know, the amount it takes to get one cow, the amount of agriculture, the amount of man hours, the amount of farming, pesticides, pollution, all the rest of it takes to get that steak on your plate. Yeah, I'm helping global warming. I'm not using single-use plastics anymore. They are banned inside the Bisping household. Hydro flasks, right? Eat your heart out. You can't move for a fucking hydro flask in this house these days. We're doing everything we can, Lewis, okay? Just because we're conscientious and you're not, don't throw that evil on us, okay? Don't sit there judging us in your lofty tower over there in New York with your sycophants and your single-use plastic and your weed and your bongs and your paraphernalia. Okay, don't judge me by your standards.
Dude, all I do is I use aerosol hairspray. I don't even have hair. I just shh into the air. Two cans every morning when I wake up. Two cans. I don't know if anything you're doing is actually stopping global warming. Let's see. 5 ways to stop global warming. Let's see.
Whenever I do fly, I make sure it's first class. You know what I mean? So there you go. I'm flying there.
Private jet.
That's definitely helping with global warming.
How to help stop. See if you can pull up an article. Ways we can help stop global warming. I have a weird thing where I just like, I don't believe that we can do anything. Maybe we can. Maybe we can all stop global warming. I just feel like it's this big, gigantic debate. But even at 37 years old, I'm a fairly intelligent person. I'm not that stupid. Why don't I know? Like, why don't I know what to do to stop global warming? How have they not at least given that much information out?
Well, it's to do with a lot of things, not that I'm an expert on it. And I used to think that I couldn't make any changes, and I can't really. But if we all make little changes in our life, reduce water waste, invest in energy efficient supplies, eat the food you buy, and make less of it meat. Boom, there you go. Buy better bulbs. We have better bulbs. We have those ones that last forever here. Whatever. Who cares? There you go. We're all doing our little bit.
I love how at the end of all of it, you're like, you know what? We really got to do this. You're like, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, no, because a lot of people are like, shut the fuck up, Mike, whatever. And that's not what I wanted to talk about. I'll tell you what I want to do talk about is obviously UFC 244. We're going to break down all the fights. We're going to make predictions for every fight, Lewis. So, you know, you have your thinking cap on, ready to go on that. But let's just take a quick second to hear about Sheath. They've been sponsoring this show for a long time, and I am so happy because I love the products. They are so comfortable. I'm wearing them right now. I know you are wearing them right now. My wife is wearing them right now. They're comfortable. They're stylish. They fit well. They're affordable, and everybody needs new underwear. So if you want new underwear, you're on the lookout. Find out what all the hype is about. You will not be disappointed. These are the best underwear you will buy. Pound for pound, the underwear champions on the market, Lewis.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm going to tell you right now, I really, truly love them. They have multi-directional fabric. It's very cool. It's a breathable material. It's not like cheap, shitty cotton underwear. I don't even know what the material is. It just feels nice. When you put on a nice pair of shoes, a nice pair of socks, a nice pair of underwear, a tie, you know when you're wearing quality. You feel the difference when you're wearing quality clothes. When you put this on, you are not going to want to wear different underwear. Everyone here at the studio is wearing Sheath right now. And not for nothing, I didn't think it would even matter to me until I started using it. Having the extra pouch for my wiener is pretty damn great. It just keeps it in one place. It looks great. It makes it look like, honestly, Bisping, it looks like I have a bigger dick. If I'm just going to break it down, it makes it look like I have a bigger dick. And who doesn't want to have a bigger dick?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you are challenged in the wiener area, you know, then take advantage. I mean, unfortunately for me, I'm so well endowed, it won't fit into the pouch. It's a real problem. I need to speak to the guys at Sheath and, like, you know, just like come out with the XL design because, you know, for those people that are, you know, just blessed. And I'm just blessed. What can I tell you? But if you want to get blessed and you want to get involved and you want some new underwear, Lewis, tell them about the offer.
Sheathunderwear.com. Say it with me. Sheathunderwear.com. One more time. Yell it in your house. Sheathunderwear.com. Use promo code BELIEVE30. You're going to get quick hit. 30% off your order. 30%. 30. Blah, 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 blah.
30. 30%
off your underwear, Sheath.
30.
Sheathunderwear.com is a website. Make sure you use that promo code BELIEVE30. 30% off. This is a great holiday gift for your loved ones, friends, family, whatever it is. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code BELIEVE30. All right, where were we?
One big fight, the co-main event this week that never nearly happened, Darren Till versus Kelvin Gastelum. Apparently, according to Brett Okamoto from ESPN, I saw a tweet this morning. He just said Darren Till almost never made. There it is. Per UFC source, there were some last minute hurdles regarding Darren Till's visas this week. Those visa issues have been resolved, and he's scheduled to arrive in New York tomorrow. So, listen, I mean, I'm going to speculate here. You know, Darren Till's a Scouser. You know, I'm from the same neck of the woods. We were cut from the same type of cloth. He probably had a couple of skirmishes with the law over the years when he was growing up. Same here. And I remember, sorry, it's a bit of a story here. I remember when I won The Ultimate Fighter. And if you've read my book, which gets released January in America, Quitters Never Win. Keep an eye out for that one. If you read the book, I went to prison, okay, and I got arrested a few times as a kid. Long, 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 long time ago. But in 2005, it wasn't that long ago. You know what I mean? That was 14 years ago. So I go out to America. I win The Ultimate Fighter. I come out here, and I've got to apply for a work visa. I apply for the work visa. I go and have the appointment in London. And Rebecca's at work. She used to be a dental nurse. I'm at home. The mailman comes. I've got a letter from the embassy. I look at it, open it up, and it says, Michael Bisping, blah, 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 blah. You have been found ineligible for access to the United States of America. These ineligibilities are permanent, and basically, long and bottom, you will never be allowed to enter the United States of America again, right? And this is after I've won The Ultimate Fighter, and I'm like, ah, I fucking screw up that piece of paper. I throw it across the room. I'm freaking out. I'm screaming. You know, I kick a couple of doors and things like that.
Did you cry? You had to have cried. You got to admit, you had to have cried.
Yeah, I was screaming so much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a little bit of a tear came out because I was so frustrated because I thought I'm turning my life around. I got turned away from the army. I spent time in prison. I was doing dead end jobs, and I thought, I'm going to fucking become a professional fighter. And it was really working out. I was 10-0. I was champion of every organization. I'd gone out to America. I'd won the fucking Ultimate Fighter, for crying out loud. There we go. We're on the tracks. We're in the octagon. We're ready to go. And then the fucking visa man says no. So I was.
And do you, at the time, are you thinking, because I've had issues getting into Canada in the past, and it's fine now, but you're literally just for being arrested for being weed, for like weed, for smoking weed on the street, like just getting a ticket. If that happens twice, they can really fuck you to get into certain countries. And I remember thinking at the time, being like, what about like rappers or like rock stars who get into like DUIs and crazy accidents? They travel the world. I was like, how do they get to do that? But because I have a couple of weed tickets, it's an issue. So you had to have all these kind of crazy thoughts going through your head. Where did you kind of go from there?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was there and I'm like, I don't believe this. At the time, I think I was 25 years old. And I'm thinking, North America, that's a pretty significant part of the globe. Do you know what I mean? And you're saying, because of a couple of things I did as a child, I can never go to North America for the rest of my life. That's fucking bullshit. So I'm all worked up. I'm upset. Rebecca comes home. She's on her lunch break. She comes in. She opens the door. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, back in. These motherfuckers, they're not going to let me in, yada, yada, yada. She goes, where's the letter? And I'm like, it's over there. And I'm all sulky. And
it's covered in tears.
Yeah. She picks it up. She unfolds it. She looks at it. She reads it. Now, of course, when I read it, when I got to these ineligibilities are permanent and you will never be able to enter America, at that point, that's when I screwed it up and threw it, right? But I never read the rest of it. Rebecca sits there, calm as a cucumber. She's like, Michael, it's... says here you can appeal. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah. It says if you disagree with this judgment, you can appeal. I'm like, oh shit. So that gave me a glimmer of hope. And all of a sudden I stopped crying. I stopped being a little bitch. Got my act together. Went down to the embassy, appealed it. And got, yeah. What do you mean, appeal? I'm sorry, Rebecca. Let me see.
I can appeal.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, I fucking appealed and got my visa. So note to self, always read the entire letter.
Yeah. That was, that's a scary process. I mean, that whole thing, you're like, fuck, dude. Cause that's what happened with me. I ended up getting turned away at the border of Canada. I was supposed to open for Dave Attell at a big theater gig. And at the time I was really young comic at the time. That was a really big deal to me to open for Dave Attell. He was one of the greatest comics of our time. And they turned me away and I had gotten into Montreal Just for Laughs Festival, which they do like a thing called New Faces, which it's like, it's a really, really big deal for like young comedians to get into like New Faces. I don't know what the equivalent would be in fighting, but it would be like, you know, some sort of like national like champion type thing. Like they choose like 10, 12 comics per year to do this big festival. And I got it. And I was just freaking out, wondering if I can get into the country. And just that feeling, that anxiety of not knowing and having to go to the border every time and freak out about it and say, I literally might. You actually talked about it a lot with your, you know, your issues with your vision, just sort of not knowing, going through the camp, going through that whole thing. And then having this feeling of like, oh, I could do this all for absolutely nothing. And I could just walk in and then go, it's over. You're fucked. And then still having to have the motivation to still do it at the highest level possible, knowing that you could just get to the, you know, the end, then be turned away. That's just terrifying. Yeah.
It absolutely goddamn sucks. And even still to these days, I've spoken about it many a times. I still get pulled to secondary not every time. I would say out of every 100 times I enter this country, I don't have to go to secondary once or twice because it's totally discretionary upon the customs patrol officer. They can look at it and go yes or no, but every time, well, not every time, most of the time they send me there because I thought it was mandatory that I had to go to secondary inspection and they treat you like a criminal. They speak to you like a piece of garbage. But then on a couple of times, the guy's gone, no, you're good. And I'm like, what? I don't need to go to secondary. He's no, you're good. I'm like, wow, you sons of bitches. You're choosing to do this. You are. So now when they send me to secondary, oh, I've got to hold my mouth. I have got to hold my mouth because I've got a few choice words. But before I get kicked out of the country, I'll shut the fuck up.
Me and you are similar people because like it's almost like a Larry David quality in us. Have you ever watched?
Yeah, 100%.
Where if like something, if you feel like you're wronged, even if you're not, or even if like most people are like, dude, it's, you're sort of overreacting right now. You still, I can't let it go. So if somebody says something or does something, like I just have to be like, well, just so you know, I noticed what you did there. It's fine. Let's move on. But and then it can escalate into a fucking thing. And you're the same type of person. I think about how many times people have spit in my food in life. I mean, I've accepted it at this point that probably one out of every 8 meals has a fucking loogie from some asshole that works at the restaurant.
Oh, listen. Yeah, well, that's what Rebecca says a lot, because you know what I mean? Sometimes if there's an issue, I don't hold back and I'll say what the issue is. She's like, Michael, you shouldn't do that in restaurants. They're definitely going to spit in your food. I'm like, oh, whatever. Ignorance is bliss. And yeah, I remember one time I was in secondary. I think I told this story. I really shouldn't tell this story, but I will, because I was only joking. I was joking. They come up, they speak to you like garbage. And when you're in secondary, you're not allowed to be on your phone, right? For whatever reason, control, you can't be checking your story, whatever, speaking to an immigration lawyer. I get it, but you're not allowed to speak to, you're not allowed to be on your phone.
It's an archaic rule. They're just trying to, whatever it is. The same thing with like DMV where you're in line, you're not allowed to be on your phone. Be like, shut the fuck up. I have ADD. Let me play a crossword puzzle. Beat it.
Yeah, and it's not just that. What if I have a fucking... a car, a driver, somebody, a guest waiting for me to pick me up, and I've been in secondary for 2 hours. I've got to communicate with them where I am and let them know, I'm really sorry about this, I'm coming. Now, the reality is I'm scrolling Instagram, but they don't know that. So anyway, so I'm there, I'm on my phone, and they love to catch you on your phone because they just snatch it out of your hands and say, right, you get that back when you leave. And they speak to you like a little child. Ooh. And this woman came up, she snatched it out of my hand. She pointed right in my face and this and that. And anyway, when she walked away, I said to this guy, and I was only joking. I just want to get this clear. I was joking. I said, oh, God. I said, wouldn't you just love to give him a slap? You know what I mean? As a joke, right? And a minute later, I get up and I go to the bathroom. And that fucking rat motherfucker, when I came back, 3 guards came up, like pinned me up against the wall, said, did you just threaten violence against that officer? I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, this gentleman here said you wanted to slap her in the face. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I didn't. And I'm looking at the guy like, you are a fucking cocksucker, aren't you?
I would have literally, I would have taken the night in jail and smacked that guy in the fucking side of his head. That's crazy. That's crazy, yeah. That he would rat you out. That is fucking crazy.
Well, he thought, obviously, that he would get let out of secondary first, you know? And I literally, it was a lighthearted comment. I was like, fucking hell, wouldn't you just love to give him a slap, eh? As if I would ever, ever dream of doing that. I was just like, just joking, you know what I mean? Because he was in my face and screaming. Anyway, I just blamed it on my accent. I'm like, no, I've got an accent. He must have misheard me. And they're like, are you sure?
Like, I said, cut me some slack, baby.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick to my lie, okay? You can ask me as many times as you want. I'm fucking sure I never said that, okay? I'm not a moron as I get evicted from America, and it was a joke. All right.
Mike, let's take a quick moment before we get into these fights, and we got to talk about BetDSI, which makes it so easy to gamble. It's an easy-to-use website, literally a child can do it. And if you're watching UFC 244 this weekend, you want to have a little bit of extra fun. It's already a stacked card, but if you want to have a little bit of extra fun, go put a little bit of cash down. It's going to change your whole perspective.
Yeah, it's as simple as this. This weekend is a massive night of fights. We got Donald Trump there. We got The Rock there. We got Masvidal, Diaz. We got Till. We got Gastelum. It goes on and on and on. But if you want to have even more fun, put some money on the fights, or pick your best fighter, pick your favorite fighter, or the fight that you're most passionate about, or the fight that you're most confident in who's going to win, and put some money on. It will change your entire experience, because you're now not only emotionally, you're monetarily invested in the outcome of that fight, and it makes it so much more exciting. So pick a fight, pick a winner, and go to betdsi.com. These guys have been in business over 20 years. They got a history of fast payment of winnings. They're 5-star plus rated on all the sportsbook review websites. Basically, they are the shit. They've been around for 20 goddamn years. I mean, what more do you want? And of course, they got a great offer. They have an offer where if you use the promo code after going to betdsi.com, you use the promo code BYM120, they're going to give you a 120% bonus match up to $1,000. So if you put $100 on, it becomes $220. If you put $50 on, it becomes $125. My God, my math is just insane. But 120% bonus match. So that's very, very...
Your math was off there. $50 would become $110.
Okay, whatever. Listen, but the fact remains, 120% bonus match, okay, on your cash, okay? So pick a fight. pick a winner, and go to betdsi.com. But use the promo code BYM120. They will give you 120% bonus on your cash, Lewis.
All right, let's get back into it.
What should we do? Should we get into these fights? Because it is a massive fight card.
We have a huge fight card. I'm very excited. Really, it's a kind of a slow news week beyond that anyway. So we're going to be doing some more. We'll talk a little bit more about some other MMA stories. I know Harrington might have some quick hits, and we do have some questions. I'll just say before we get into... Yes?
Can I run the bathroom? Because I'm dying for a pee, and then we'll get
I was just going to do the plugs, baby boy. Perfect. Perfect timing. All right, you love the show. Right now, go subscribe on our YouTube channel. It is growing. The numbers are massive now. Subscribe. Just search for Michael Bisping Podcast or Believe You Me Podcast on YouTube. iTunes as well, Google Play, Stitcher, really anywhere you can grab a podcast, you could find this podcast. If you guys want every episode that we've ever done, every episode on demand at your fingertips, gasdigitalnetwork.com is the website. It's our network that we have here in New York City. The entire on-demand library, uncensored, ad-free as well. You don't have to listen to the ad reads if you guys don't like ad reads. You get all that. It's just $7 a month if you use the promo code BYM. You get this show, Legion of Skanks, Real Ass Podcast, 20 shows on the network you get access to. So just make sure you use that promo code BYM so we get credit for bringing you guys in as subscribers. And if you guys want to shoot us an email, whether they're video questions, fan art, whatever it is, shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. bympod@gmail.com is the website. Is the email address. And last but not least, I'm going to be doing a lot of touring. I'm going all over the place, guys. Luis J. Gomez Presents, luisjgomez.com is the website where you can grab tickets and check out my dates. I'm going to be down the shore, Uncle Vinny's. In Point Pleasant, New Jersey. I'll be there on November 6th through 9th. I'll be at the White Plains Comedy Club as well. And then I got a bunch of dates. We're going all over the place. Going to Detroit, Kalamazoo, Michigan. I'll be at the Comedy Store with Legion of Skanks on New Year's Eve. San Diego, Philadelphia, Boston, and more. So, Luis J. Gomez Presents, luisjgomez.com is the website. Mr. Bisping, you're back.
I am back. I just want to say, last night in bed, I was watching the quick hit segment on the last show, and it was great. I loved it. I love the music that you put over the top. So I'm happy to quick hit it. Quick hits anytime we want, okay? I like the quick hit segment. In fact, I want to do quick hits every single fucking episode, baby boy.
Let's do it. All the shit. Well, here's what I think we should do is the shit we can't get to, we quick hit it.
All right, because I want to break down quickly and quickly and expertly every fight on the main card, and we'll give our picks. Okay, we'll do our BIM coin picks for this fight card because a lot of people I think are going to be making bets. You know, going to betdsi.com and throwing a few bucks on these fights, and I'm going to give my expert analyses, and you can do the same, and you can choose to either listen to me or listen to Luis J. Gomez, the undefeated Puerto Rican rattlesnake. But do we have any quick hits? Harrington, what have we got in the news section that we'll give our thoughts on prior to getting into UFC 244? What's going on in the world of MMA?
Well, I got a new one right here. Yair Rodriguez looks like he may be calling out Conor McGregor in this latest Twitter video. Just want to see if you guys saw this and what you think of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Okay, so what we have there is Yair Rodriguez putting... His Holiness, the Vicar of Crumlin, Conor McGregor, on a candle, lighting it to hallelujah, hallelujah. Saint McGregor, make me the miracle. Yair Rodriguez is begging. My God, my God, get alive. Do not beg for anything. And I gotta say this, these Mexicans, they're very, very religious people. That was blasphemy. 101.
That was.
Saint McGregor putting his face on a candle and lighting it like you are making some offer to the gods, to the heavens, playing that music that is reserved and revered for the holiest of holy occasions. Yair Rodriguez, you are playing with fire. You are meddling with the gods, my friend.
Thou shalt not worship false idols, they say. What is going on, Mr. Yair? You're giving up on Jesus and you're going to worship Conor McGregor. Look, the fight itself, awesome. Why not? You know, Conor McGregor, I think he actually released a statement specifically saying that they're looking at Cowboy Cerrone. So that's all but official now at this point. And that's a fight that they went back and forth on. I am the Lord.
Thou shalt not have any strange gods before me. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day.
Are you okay? Doing just the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Quick hits, guys.
Okay. Quick hits. Quick hits.
Honor thy father and thy mother. And that is by God. So Callum, Ellie, Lucas, honor thy father and the mother. Okay, quick hits. Quick hit. What have you got on this conversation, Lewis?
I already did my quick hit.
Okay, my quick hit is this. Yair Rodriguez, don't lower yourself. Don't beg. You're making a fool. You're a great fighter. You had an awesome performance against Jeremy Stephens. You do not beg when you're a bad man. Quick hit. What else we got, baby boy?
Henry Cejudo says he will not drop down to 125 to fight Joseph Benavidez for his return fight. Is he justified making that call?
Quick hit. My name is... So I think that if he won't fight Joseph Benavidez, like Dana White, the president suggested, and he says that making 125 is too hard. He said the first time I did it in the UFC, he even missed weight. I'm sorry. Defend or vacate, or strip or an interim. One of those options has to happen. If he won't defend it, defend or vacate, baby boy. Quick hit, Lewis.
No can defend. You must vacate. I agree with Michael Bisping. You know, Cejudo, whereas I like him, he's a badass. I understand what he's doing. He's a little cringy. But at the same time, if he's not willing to fight for that title, then that's that. To be honest with you, I thought they were getting rid of the 125-pound title. That's what I vote for. I say you melt it down and make it just an amulet for the BMF. They get a BMF amulet around their neck as well.
Ten Commandment number 7, thou shalt not steal. And you are stealing opportunities from the other 25ers. You are stealing the possibility of greatness from Joseph Benavidez, a man that has a win over Henry Cejudo, a man that deserves his shot at glory. Quick hit, what else we got?
Okay, well, you know what? How about this? Then I'll say, thou shalt not... take the Lord's name in vain.
Fuck me, Jesus Christ, no. I'm going straight to hell. Quick hit. What else we got?
Quick hit.
All right, this one just came across the wire here. Paul Craig just accepted a short notice fight with Shogun Rua in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Thoughts?
Quick hit. Who's Paul Craig?
Quick hit. Braveheart guy, Scottish. Puts his face in blue. Won a submission or a knockout, I think, in his last fight. Quick hit. I'm commentating in that fight in Sao Paulo. I commentated Paul Craig's last fight. I'm very familiar. Quick hit. Everybody knows Shogun. That's great. No research for that fight, baby boy. Yeah. But that's a great fight, and I'm happy to see it. Paul Craig, nice guy. Big step up in competition. But I wish you nothing but the best, my friend. Good luck in that fight. What else? Anything else, Harrington?
Well, just one big one. Paulo Costa looks like he's going to be on the shelf for 8 months or so. Israel Adesanya does not want to wait and is already calling out Yoel Romero. Is that the right fight for the 185-pound champion?
I mean, so here's the thing. It sounds weird to say yes because I'm just looking up Yoel Romero's record. I think he's 1-3 or something in his last 4 fights. So he lost to Paulo Costa, he lost to Robert Whittaker, he beat Luke Rockhold, and he lost to Robert Whittaker. So he's won 1 fight and lost 3 in his last 4. So it sounds insane for him to be next in line for a title shot. But the Rockhold fight, I think that was supposed to be an interim. The Whittaker fight, that was an interim title fight. The next Whittaker fight was a title fight. And the Paulo Costa fight was a number 1 contender fight, which he did lose, but now Costa's out. So I guess that makes Yoel Romero eligible again. And I'll say this, before I wasn't drinking the Adesanya Kool-Aid, I wasn't on the hype train, but I am now, and I think that's an easy win for Adesanya. Quick hit, Lewis.
Quick hit. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's not anybody else there, right? He's got the win over Whittaker. Casas out. You know, what do you do? It's just a weird position to be in because you don't... You know, you don't want a guy coming off of a loss to be getting a title shot. That just seems crazy. I hate to see it. I almost feel like it makes more sense to just say, fuck it, shelve him or do a catchweight fight. Move up, do a 205-pound fight that's not a title fight and test the waters at 205. He's talking all that shit against John Jones. Why not give him somebody at 205 that's a good litmus test?
Yeah, but as Dana White said, you know, because obviously Adesanya and Jones are going back and forth all the time in the media. He said, yeah, you know, that is a fight potentially down the line. But Israel just won the belt. He only just won it. You can't jump up a weight class. You got to start. You got to defend it two or three times before you start doing that. Now, as you said, you know, in these circumstances, there isn't a massive crop of contenders. It's weird because 185 used to be, you know, in my day, and I'm not just saying it because it was then, but it was just all fucking killers. Now there isn't too many contenders. Jacare and Weidman, they've both gone up to 205. You got Gastelum still there. You got Darren Till fighting Gastelum this weekend. Romero and Costa. But outside of those guys, there's not too many challenges. So
friend
you never
show,
know.
Jared Cannonier.
Well, there you go. Jared Cannonier is a good one as well. With a big win this weekend, Gastelum might just get a rematch with Adesanya. You never know, because that was a classic fight.
Yeah, that is true. That could happen. And also with you know, Darren Till moving up to 185, this could be he's a massive star as well. They're really trying to do something with him. So if he gets a really big win over Gastelum, former champion, I got to be honest with you, I think that's a real easy way to make the Darren Till versus Israel Adesanya fight. And that's something that they talked about a while ago. And when you talk about just from the fans' perspective of a really killer fight, holy shit, is there on paper, is there much more of an exciting matchup than Darren Till versus Israel Adesanya?
Yeah, Paulo Costa. No disrespect to Darren Till. I was really, really, really looking forward to that fight because Paulo Costa is an absolute fucking beast. But as Israel said, he said, I'm, you know, talking about Robert Whittaker when he fought Yoel Romero. He said, yeah, he'd be a 42-year-old wrestler. I'm not a 42-year-old wrestler and I don't fight like a 42-year-old wrestler, which was a very, very good point. But still, all right, end of quick hits. Kill the music. UFC 244, Lewis. Unfortunately, you're not going to get to watch it. You're at a wedding. I'm not going to get it to watch it. I'm in bloody Texas. Go ahead.
I'm going to watch it. I'm bringing my cell phone. You know, the wedding's going to be over. They have the after party or whatever, but I'm sneaking the fuck away for the main event. There's no questions asked. I'm watching Masvidal versus Diaz live.
Oh, same here. I'm watching it. But what I mean by that is I'm not going to have, you know, the typical evening where I sit at home and all the rest of it. I'll be busy. Even if I'm at a restaurant having dinner, I'll have it on the phone, on the restaurant table, watching it. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to purchase it through the ESPN Plus app. Download it today. All right. Where do we want to start on these fights? Harrington, I know you sent some notes on the breakdown. So you cue us up on the first fight, Harrington. Do it in fight order. And then me and Lewis will give our thoughts on the bout, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Well, I went back to the prelim headliner, which is Corey Anderson versus Johnny Walker.
Tremendous fight. Number one, Johnny Walker. I mean, my God, this guy is unbelievable. Can he live up to the hype? So far, so good. So far, he's looked incredible. But he's stepping up. And just like people said with Israel Adesanya, it's easy to beat the lower level competition, which no disrespect. I think his last fight was Misha Serkinov, I think. I might be wrong there. Let me just look. Johnny Walker.
Yeah,
I think his last fight was. Yeah, Misha Serkinov, it was a quick... Yeah, and then he beat Justin Ledeck, Khalil Roundtree, Henrique Da Silva. So he's on a 4-5... Well, he's 4-0 so far in the UFC, and he's 17-3. Those three losses were early in his career. He's improved a lot. Incredible knockout power. Freak athlete. But can he stop the wrestling? Here's where we're going to find out. Corey Anderson, great wrestler, on a roll right now. His form is very, very good. But if you want to pick from me, I say Johnny Walker goes out there and gets another stoppage. I think he does it in spectacular style. I like Corey Anderson. I wish him the best. But I believe this is the coming out party of Johnny Walker. And John Jones better start taking some notice of this young man.
Let's see. I don't know. I mean, when you consider the competition that Corey Anderson has competed against, he's been in the UFC a lot longer. He's fought, I mean, just the who's who. And he's beat a lot of them. Recent wins over Alir Latifi, Glover Teixeira, Patrick Cummins. Able to out-wrestle great wrestlers. Able to stifle the striking of great strikers. I think that that experience is going to come a very, very, very long way. And I don't think that Johnny Walker's ever faced anybody as good as Corey Anderson. I think we're going to see Johnny Walker take his first UFC loss this Saturday night.
Side bet, Lewis, between you and me. I've got Johnny Walker. You've got Corey Anderson. What is the pitfalls? What is the consequence of losing this bet?
What do we do here? All right, you put one of your watches on the line, and
no fucking chance. I don't really bet too often unless I go to betthisi.com. And when I do bet, I don't do it for $20,000 at a time. Okay, so get fucked. Okay. And I like Johnny Walker, but I don't like him that much. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I need those free watches I was given for nothing. I don't know. So anyway, I got Johnny Walker. You got Corey Anderson.
I do. Put it down. Put it down.
Yeah, put that down. Bimcoin. You want to put some Bimcoin on?
We'll decide our bets at the end. Also, we can also Bimcoin between each other. If you want to do a Bimcoin bet just between me and you, I can take some of those Bimcoin.
All right, we'll do a straight Bimcoin. $100 on the line. Winner takes all.
100 Bimcoin.
100 Bimcoin each, winner gets all. I got Johnny Walker, you got Anderson, Harrington. Keep a note of that. Okay, next fight, Harrington, I believe. Go ahead, break it down.
That is going to be Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie. Kevin Lee returns to 155 after a one-fight stint at 170 to take on surging prospect Gregor Gillespie. Your thoughts?
Lewis, go ahead.
I don't really know much about Gregor Gillespie. I just know that he's undefeated. You know, a few fights in the UFC. He's got 6 fights in the UFC. Anytime I see a guy that's undefeated, there's something about him, especially if he's got a bunch of fights in the UFC already. There's something there. I guess I'm going to have to just pick Gregor. I mean, you know, Kevin Lee's great as well. Super exciting fighter. But at this point, two losses in a row, 1-3 in his last 4. I think it's definitely Gillespie's fight to win.
Yeah, because number one, Gillespie is undefeated. He's just an incredible wrestler. His cardio is through the roof. He pushes an absolutely relentless pace. Bye, babe. You look nice. Pushes an absolutely relentless pace. I'm just looking at his Wikipedia page, right? His wrestling credentials are insane. Let me just read this out, his background. Born and raised in Webster, New York, Gillespie attended Webchester Schroeder High School, where he was a standout in wrestling, winning 2 state titles. He also continued wrestling for Edinburgh University, where he was a 4-time NCAA Division I All-American wrestler, won a national championship in 2007. He was the first freshman All-American in high school history. He also holds the school record for the most career wins, 152. Most wins as a freshman, highest winning percentage, 91.7. Gillespie's, his wrestling credentials are through the roof. His cardio is unbelievable. His striking is getting better all the time. Lewis, with the finger up, go.
And he's got 6 knockouts, 5 submissions, only 2 decisions. So he's not even like a boring wrestler who's just lying on top of people and just winning the rounds. He's actually stopping most of his competition.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, of course, Kevin Lee's no walk in the park for anybody. Kevin Lee will give anybody a tough fight. Seriously, anybody, he'll give them a tough fight. But, I mean, he's kind of similar to who we were just talking about. That's 1-3. He's, who were we talking about? Oh, Romero. Romero's 1-3. So's Kevin Lee. Lost to Tony Ferguson, beat Edson Barboza, lost to Ali Quinta, and lost to Rafael Dos Anjos. The Rafael Dos Anjos was able to take Kevin Lee down multiple times. If Dos Anjos, and I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way to Dos Anjos, but Gillespie's a better wrestler. I mean, it's clearly evident. If Dos Anjos could take him down, Gillespie is going to take him down. And I really respect Kevin Lee's balls here. This is a tough matchup. He's in a tough place. He's lost 3 of his last 4. You know what I mean? His back's against the wall, and he's taking on a young up-and-comer, a stud, a guy that's got all the potential to be a champion one day. So, Kevin Lee, you have my respect. But I think Gregor Gillespie, by decision, wins that fight.
And Gregor, 5 of his 6 UFC appearances has stopped his opponents. So it's like it's not even like he's getting decisions in the UFC. All of his latest 5 fights, he's been stopping in the first and second round. So I'm excited for that. I actually didn't really know much about Gregor before this, and that fight should be super exciting. What's up next, Harrington?
Well, hold on. How do we feel about the name Gregor? You know what I mean? Do we feel like he should ditch Gregor? You know what I mean? He needs a nickname, because Gregor, it's, hey, what's up, Gregor? It just doesn't sound macho enough.
It's very vampire-y. Reminds me of a vampire, like Gregor. Hello. I've come to take you down.
Oh, Gregor. Come here. I want to bite your neck, Gregor. Okay, next fight, Harrington.
Next up, heavyweights take it to the ring. Former title challenger Derek Lewis takes on former World Series of Fighting champion Blagoy Ivanov.
Okay. Blagoy Ivanov. I don't know too much about him. I mean, I've watched him fight. He beat Taito Uvasa. He lost to Junior Dos Santos. He's a big, big, tough customer. You know, heavy-handed. Not the most athletic guy. Similar to Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis, another big, big, hard-hitting guy. Derek Lewis, always money to watch. Blagoy Ivanov, I think, will stand in the pocket and will be happy to trade with Derek Lewis. And I don't think he can take the punches of Derek Lewis. I think Derek Lewis gets a knockout here. I think Derek Lewis, round two, knockout. There you go. Boom.
Very specific. And if you had, had that type of confidence to keep your pick, you would be probably 60,000 Bitcoin deep right now, Mr. Bisping.
I'd be a rich man.
You would be a rich man.
I'm a pussy. We all know this. It's well documented throughout history. What do you got, Lewis?
Look, dude, once again, super tough to pick. Two heavyweights, both got losses to Junior Dos Santos. Both, you look at Blagoy, let's see here. Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, he's never been knocked out before, and he fights at heavyweight. So, you know, he's fought some big punchers before. Taito Uvasa, obviously. Junior Dos Santos went to a decision with him. 5 rounds. Yeah, dude, you know what? I'm going to go against what you're saying. I'm going to pick Blagoy. He's only got a couple losses, newer to the UFC. And to be honest with you, we've seen Derek Lewis shit the bed a few times. We've seen him, have a few performances where his cardio was in question. So I think Blagoy Ivanov is able to take it to a decision, and I think it's going to be another not super exciting fight.
100 Bimcoin on the line each?
I only have 55 Bimcoin left.
Pathetic. I'll
put 50 Bimcoin.
50 Bimcoin, because I'm already going to say it. Listen, we know you cannot suck Diaz's dick hard enough, and you need some money to put on Diaz. I already know you're going to go Diaz.
Shit, right? So I need more Bimcoin.
Put 50 on Blagoy. I mean, what a person to use all your Bimcoin on, right? You've gone fucking Kevin Lee. You've gone...
No, I didn't go Kevin Lee.
Blagoy. Who did you go with?
I went with... who did I go with?
You put 100, Corey Anderson.
You put 100... Yeah.
Corey Anderson's a good bet, Dougie. That you're going to lose 100 Bitcoin. You're about to lose that money, Bibba boy.
You're going to waste your entire budget on the undercard fights. You're going to go with Corey Anderson when there's Masvidal, there's the co-main event, there's all these big fights. But no, you're good. Just take all your budget and use it on the undercard fight, on Corey Anderson. And you don't know that much about Corey Anderson. You're just doing it to be contrary to me. You're trying to go against the grain. You're trying to prove me wrong, but you're fine. Save your five.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're saying that I don't know anything about Corey Anderson? You're gonna call me out like that, dude? If there's one subject that I know about specifically, it's the UFC's light heavyweights, Corey Anderson, who was the light heavyweight winner of the Ultimate Fighter Team Edgar versus Team Penn.
What is he currently ranked? Where does he stand in the UFC rankings right now?
I think as of August 12th, he was in the number 7 position.
Ah, and just remind me again, which college did he go to? Where did he study?
If I'm not mistaken, I think he went to Lincoln College in Lincoln, Illinois. He was an All-American, actually, Mr. Bisping. Yeah, All-American.
Right. It was on the tip of my tongue. And
hold on. After graduating, he also attended the... After graduating, he also attended the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater. So, you know, there's no really one answer to that, okay? Don't fucking question my knowledge about Corey Anderson.
That's where the confusion came in, because I was like, it doesn't sound right, but it's the two colleges that were throwing me off. And correct me if I'm wrong, but his mixed martial arts debut, when was that? What year, what month, what show? And what was the result of his mixed martial arts debut?
His mixed martial arts debut, let me see, if memory serves, I believe, hold on, I think it was NAFC Battleground, March 29th, no, 29th, 29th.
Battleground 6?
Yes.
It was the 6th. Okay.
Okay, good, okay, yeah. March.
And which day of March?
March 29th, 2013.
God damn. Okay. Yeah.
I remember it well. It was a couple days before my birthday, and I was like, you know what, dude? Corey Anderson's going to go out there and fucking smash him. I was there, actually, live. I was cornering Corey Anderson. So
it was a classic day. I remember it well. It was a Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. It was slightly overcast that day. The weatherman said there was a threat of rain, but you know, these weathermen, they always get it wrong. I went out, I took an umbrella and a heavy raincoat. There was no rain in sight. But all there was Corey Anderson raining down blows and setting off this tremendous mixed martial arts career, which sees him in this highlighting fight this weekend against Corey Anderson. But you're still wrong. Next fight, what have we got?
Wonder Boy makes his return to the ring against Vicente Luque.
Ah, I love Vicente.
Whoa. Sarcasm there, but you should love Vicente. Vicente Luque is a lot of fun. Last out against Mike Perry, destroyed the face of Mike Perry, the nose of Mike Perry. Here's what I want to say. The theme of this fight card, as tremendous as these fights are, every time I look someone up, they seem to have won one and lost three. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, again, in a tough position. He's only won one of his last four fights. Now, granted, he lost against Tyron Woodley, super close. First one was a draw. Then he lost a decision. Then he beats Jorge Masvidal in a decision. Then he loses to Darren Till and then loses to Anthony Pettis. Close decision to Darren Till, knocked out against Anthony Pettis. I would say that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson wins this fight. However, the fact he's lost three of his last four, the fact that he's getting a little bit older, the fact that his style, being so point karate based, relies on a lot of speed and a lot of reflexes, and he's getting older. And speed and reflexes, they're some of the first things to go. Power and the ability to take a shot, sometimes they're the last thing, but speed and reflexes, they can be some of the first things. And he's getting a little bit older now, I feel that. So those skills are starting to diminish a little bit. His timing, his reflexes, his speed is going down a little. And that's why he's starting to lose fights, because listen, eventually it catches up with everybody. I love Wonder Boy. I love him. He's one of the best people you can ever meet. He's just a ray of positivity. One of the nicest guy, always a smile on his face. And on the flip side, Vicente Luque is a fucking killer as well. They're both killers inside the octagon, but somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to bring home the bacon. Somebody's got to get the victory. Who have you got, Lewis? Break it down.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I mean, I look at the Mike Perry decision. It was a close fight. And I just feel like, you know, Wonder Boy's striking prowess is just so much more refined than Mike Perry's. I think he's going to be able to probably outpoint him. I think he's fought, I mean, he's been a champion. He's fought in title fights, fought number one contender fights many times. And you got to understand, he's lost three of his last four, but he's only losing to the absolute best in the world, whereas Vicente hasn't really even competed against the best in the world yet. So I'm going to go with Wonder Boy. I think, you know, it's we'll see. I mean, you know, also kind of a hard pick as well. Guy that's coming up, guy that seems to be, you know, going down. But yeah, I think that Wonder Boy, I think he's going to be a little bit too much for him.
Yeah, well, Luque's on a 6-5 win streak. Last fight was against Mike Perry. Great fight. But as you say, I think it is fair to say that technically speaking, Wonder Boy is a cleaner striker, a more advanced striker. But Mike Perry, not as clean, but he's certainly effective. He's a brawler. And Luque, a lot of his fights are like that. His fight with Brian Barberena, that was an absolute back-and-forth war. I see, if you haven't seen these fights, you've got to go back and watch them. Vicente Luque is always in these amazing fights. And I always say, a good style to beat the pretty striking style that Wonder Boy has, you've got to make it a brawl. You've got to get in their face. You've got to close the distance, cut off the cage, force them back up against the fence where they can't use the kicks, and then try and fight them inside a phone booth, you know, in close quarters inside the pocket. This is the toughest fight of the night for me to pick. I love Wonder Boy, but I feel like Vicente Luque gets the job done here. But I love Wonder Boy, and I hope I'm wrong. And if I am, I apologize already. Next up, what we got, Harrington?
Come in.
Well, it's not going to get any easier, Mike, because this fight might be the toughest fight on the card to call. Kelvin Gastelum makes his return. Last time he was out there, fought Israel Adesanya for the interim title. Now he steps in there against recent up jump welterweight Darren Till.
Lewis.
I feel like Till's got to win a big one, right? Eventually. Jesus Christ. Fuck. Till's great. He's really exciting. I think super close fight. So hard to pick. Both of these guys are blown up 170-pounders, right? So it's not like, I know that they talk about, Till being this huge 170-pounder, but I don't know if the size difference is going to make much of a difference there. I think that...
3-inch height and reach advantage.
Yeah, dude. Look, I think that Darren Till, once again, it's almost like I'm picking a coin. The coin's landed five times in a row on heads. I was like, it's got to be tails, right? It's got to be tails next. It's so close that I'm just picking based off the fact that eventually it's got to come up sunny for Darren Till. And if it does, we get to possibly set up that Adesanya versus Till matchup in the future, which in my opinion, I think that's a much more exciting matchup than Romero.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it is a numbers game. Because I always used to say, when I was undefeated, when I was 15 and all, I'm going to say, listen, eventually you're going to lose. If, you know what I mean? You roll the dice that many times, and of course, every time you fight, you step up in competition. And regardless of how good you are, eventually, you know, you're not going to win it every time. Eventually, one time you should have zigged when you should have zagged, you bobbed when you should have weaved, you ducked when you should have sprawled, or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Shit goes wrong in an MMA fight. And every time you fight, you're stacking the odds against you if you win every single time. And just like as you said, on the flip side, if he keeps losing these big fights that he's in, eventually he's going to win one because he ain't a fucking dud. He's a fantastic fighter. He's a very, very good fighter. He's just been fighting top of the food chain guys. Now, this fight for me is a tricky one because obviously we all know that I lost to Kelvin Gastelum. And this one stings me because I wasn't myself in that Kelvin Gastelum fight. I overtrained for the GSP fight. I got choked out. I parted for 2 weeks and then flew out to fucking China. No training camp, skinny as fuck. And, you know, I thought I'd go and give it a little shot in a swan song. And, you know, and I got knocked out. It is what it is. I firmly believe, and no disrespect to Gastelum, that I can beat Gastelum all day long. If I had a proper training camp and I applied myself properly and I hadn't just been choked out and done a training camp, I'd fucking beat him all day long.
Mike, we already broke this down very extensively and scientifically. We went over the numbers. You were fighting at 13% of yourself that day. Kelvin Gastelum was fighting at 100% of himself. It's simple mathematics.
105%. He was 105%. Therefore, I was at 105.95. I was at a 92% deficit.
When you consider the math, you actually won that fight. You're currently sitting on a world championship. It's fine. But yeah, Calvin shouldn't be proud of that. Fine, Calvin.
Because here's the thing. He is proud of it. He is proud of it. I saw him talking about it once because on UFC Tonight he came on. I said, dude, you didn't beat me. You beat some little hungover, diminished version of me. And then I saw him on like an embedded going, oh, and he was impersonating me going, you didn't fucking beat me. And he's like, I just did. I did. I literally beat you. You didn't, Calvin. You didn't. And this is the thing where this fight stings, because if Darren Till goes out and he beats Kelvin Gastelum, they're going to go, well, he beat the guy that Bisping couldn't.
The greatest British fighter of all time. If Darren Till beats Kelvin Gastelum this weekend, Dougie, you know I'm on your side. I'm Team Bisping all day. There's not a bigger fan. But I'm telling you right now, the data is out. If Darren Till beats Kelvin Gastelum, Darren Till is officially the best British mixed martial artist of all time.
If Darren Till beats Kelvin Gastelum, I love Darren Till, big fan. We stay in touch on Instagram, little private message here and there. We do a like, we do all that type of stuff. Great guy, wish him the best. If Darren Till beats Kelvin Gastelum, I'm coming out of retirement, baby boy. I'm going to fix this leg. I'm going to get a fake eyeball. We're going to beat those tests. And Darren Till, you got to fucking get it, lads. All right? If you fucking go out there and do the fucking business against Gastelum, it's fucking on our kids. All right? All fucking day. No, going back to the fight. Going back to the fight, yeah. You speak about the three inch height and weight difference for Gastelum. Now Gastelum's used to that though. He's always the shorter guy, and he does well. And of course, when you look at the performance that Gastelum had against Adesanya, and what Adesanya did to Brunson, what Adesanya did to Whittaker, it makes Gastelum's stock look even bigger. So this isn't an easy fight for either of them. Now you're absolutely right, both of them are jumped up welterweights. If Gastelum was a little more dedicated, he could make welterweight easily. And Darren Till, you know, he fought all of his career at 170. Although I don't think he's small for 185 either, because he is a big guy. How is Darren Till coming into this fight? I'm sure he's very, very confident. He realizes that his back's against the wall. He says that he's rolled the dice and he knows he's taking a risk. But if he can pull it off, then it puts him in a top spot at 185. So he's taking a risk. He recognizes that. I don't know how this fight's going to go down, because Darren Till's certainly got the ability to beat him. You know, but we've seen that Gastelum has the ability as well. But I'm British, so therefore I've got to go with Darren Till. So I'm wishing Darren Till the best, and I say Darren Till wins by decision. Gastelum's a tough little fucker. I don't think he'll knock him out, but I think if Till sticks to a good game plan, right, and doesn't get overly aggressive like he did in the Masvidal fight, then I think he can pull off a decision.
All right, let's go with the main event here. Harrington, give us a little bit of background.
Well, it looked like it was off for a little bit, but for sure, back on, Jorge Masvidal is facing Nate Diaz for the baddest motherfucker belt at MSG. In attendance will be your president and mine, Donald J. Trump, and presenting the belt will be the biggest star in Hollywood, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Gentlemen,
is that all true? The Rock is presenting the belt and Trump's going to be in attendance?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a big fight, dog. Real big fight.
And I was going to fly there as well. I was going to be there as well, which I was getting all the headlines, but I got to be in Texas.
I mean, it's, you know, Trump, The Rock, Bisping.
There's a trifecta right there. You know what I mean? That's a movie waiting to, it's a movie waiting to happen. I'm excited for this fight. Big time. It's going to be great. And listen, Masvidal, it's so funny. And we all know that me and Masvidal hated each other's guts for a while there, but now I'm a massive fan of the guy. And it seems like the entire world is, you know, and in this sport, it's all about what have you done for me lately? Can't deny what Masvidal's done lately. He's fucking insane. Knocked out Darren Till, knocked out Ben Askren. And he's just captivating to listen to, as is Nate Diaz, right? Nate Diaz is as well. But neither of them are a stranger to losing fights either, but they're both on tremendous form. I think Diaz looked sensational against Pettis, but Diaz can lose fights as well. I think this is Masvidal's fight all day long. I think he's got the edge in boxing. He's got the edge in wrestling. Diaz certainly has an advantage on the ground, but Masvidal's no idiot. He trains at a great team. He's been doing MMA for the longest time. So whilst he's at a disadvantage on the ground, he's not going to be a fish out of water. And I just think, I think this is Masvidal's fight all day. I don't think he'll stop him because Diaz is tough as fuck. Saying that though, Till's tough as fuck. Ben Askren is tough as fuck and Masvidal stopped them. So I don't know. It's a tough one, but I've got Masvidal all day. All day, I'm willing to put on all my BIM coin on Jorge Masvidal getting the win.
It is a really close fight, right? And when Masvidal looks as good as he's ever looked, right? He is now, without a doubt, come into his own. He's a massive star. He's a tough motherfucker. Super exciting to watch. Super exciting to listen to. But you got to remember, dude, Nate Diaz, he's a fucking Diaz brother. And I hate to just say it like that, that like doesn't mean anything. There's just these guys, I don't know, man. I feel like they fight almost like they get motivated by how good their opponents are. And I don't know, man. Nate was able to beat Conor McGregor. I feel like Conor McGregor is a better striker than Masvidal. I think Nate's just been in these big, 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 massive fights for so long. It's super close. I wouldn't bet real money on this in a million years. I wouldn't, you know, it's too close to call. But
what are you talking about? I am going to betdsi.com. I'm going to use the promo code as well because I won that bonus match, okay? I'm putting money on this, baby boy. Real money. Real money. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, all right? I'm going to back up what I say, Lewis.
Why don't you put your watch on the line, bro?
With your fucking assistants and your Gas Digital Network empire, West Coast Studios, East Coast Studios, but you won't. You won't put a few bucks on this fight? I mean, Jesus Christ, are you a man of your word?
I'll put up
$100. I'm putting $100 on Masvidal on betdsi.com. You put $100 on Diaz. Let's go, baby boy. No, fuck that. We'll bet each other so I get $100 of your money.
How about this? I'll bet one. You put your watch on the line against one night with my assistant. She has to do whatever I say.
Beck, I've got a question for you, babe. So, listen, it's all just in the air of the podcast, you know, and it's a bit of a thing, bit of a joke, but you're cool, right? So I'm going to bang Lewis's assistant.
Why don't women let us just bang other women? That's what I say. I mean, come on here.
Rebecca actually thinks I'm calling her over. No, you're good, babe. And she's looking very bemused. She's like, you what? You want to fuck Lewis's assistant? I don't want to smash Lewis's assistant, babe. It's a joke.
He's never seen her.
She's not happy. I don't know what she looks like, for crying out loud. Hold on. What does she look like? Maybe.
She's cute. Cute chick.
I take that back.
Yeah, dude, this one's hard to pick. This one's hard to pick.
No, it's not. It's not hard to pick. I'm sorry. I like Diaz. I do. I'm a big fan. I like watching him talk. I like watching him fight. Okay, but he's lost a lot of fights.
What is Diaz? What does Masvidal do to Diaz, though? He's not going to knock him out. Diaz, it's very rare Diaz gets knocked out. I mean, I think the last time Diaz was knocked out, Josh Thompson, yeah, he kept on going for the low kick, went for the high kick, caught him. It's so rare that Nick Diaz gets caught with something like that. I don't know that Masvidal is as creative as a striker. Is he going to take him down? No, he'll get submitted. I think Diaz, if he takes him down at all, Diaz has a massive, massive jiu-jitsu advantage. And it sort of comes down to cardio, comes down to boxing. I think these guys are going to stand there and they're going to bang. And I think Nate Diaz, we've seen him outbox Conor McGregor. We just saw him outbox Anthony Pettis. And Anthony Pettis is a super creative striker, maybe not as powerful as Jorge Masvidal. But he looked as good as he's ever looked against Anthony Pettis. And that's sort of the fight that I'm looking at. And that's what I want to say. This is the Nate Diaz that we saw in this last fight. I think he's coming in motivated. He's not going to overlook Jorge Masvidal. He knows how big of a fight this is. I think we're going to see another classic, amazing performance by Nate Diaz. And I think Jorge Masvidal, whereas I think he's great, and we've all turned a corner on him, I think that Nate Diaz, it's just his time. I think he's the man, and yeah, I think he's going to do it. In fact, I'll up it. $200, baby boy.
$200, and I'm just going to throw this in. Masvidal's going to knock him out, so fuck
what?
You. Masvidal's going to, because he's got 5 rounds to do it, Masvidal's going to knock him out. Boom, there you go. He knocked Till out in the first round, he knocked Askren out in the first round. He went off to the jungle. Just like I'm going to do, I'm going to go down to Peru, do my ayahuasca, come back a new person, new knee, new me, new brain. He went off to the jungle, did a reality TV show, disappeared, came back, this absolute knockout monster, this knockout machine. Okay, all right. Okay, Masvidal knocks him out. How about that? How about that, Mr. Diaz fanboy? Fuck me. Grow a pair. You make me sick. You're like a little teenager with your white face and your brown glasses. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Shame, Bell.
Mocking the white people just because he's Mexican descent. You come in here with white face on, picking the Mexicans all day long. Fuck you, Lewis. You're dead to me.
Shame. All right, let's wrap this one up in just a minute or two. We have a couple minutes left. Do you have any questions, Harrington?
Yeah, we got a couple questions, and we have a ton of submissions for the shirtless
competition. Why don't we wait for the shirtless competition for Monday, because we don't have that much time left here. Let's get a couple questions, because we didn't answer any of them.
All the time. That's it.
That's a good question.
Lois, this is Roland, and you want to know the most annoying things that the other one says all the time. Why are you talking so sexually like this all the time? Because you're from Germany, I know this, but Lewis, without further ado, it's time for you to answer the question from Roland.
The most annoying thing that Bisping says. I mean, the fans would probably say 100%, which I don't get annoyed by. I don't really notice it. I don't know. They used to say you in the beginning when we did the podcast, they would say that you slurped too. And I didn't understand what that, I literally don't even know what they were talking about. They were like the Bisping slurp. That was like a big thing, I guess, in the beginning of the show.
No, because I was doing this, because I'd have to be too, the old microphone that we had, I had to lean into it, which would cause the saliva to gather in my mouth. So, you know, unless I want the saliva to roll out onto the microphone, I had to slurp up the saliva, you know.
Are you trying to turn me on, Michael Bisping? You're talking about the saliva in your mouth, yeah?
With this Ferrero Rocher, you are really spoiling us. Go on. Most annoying thing out of me, Lewis.
Can I tell you? I'll say it. Fine.
Just fucking say it. Don't pull any punches. Be honest, because I'm going straight for the fucking jugular.
I'm going to say it right now. Let's go.
Say it. Let's go.
When we do our ad reads, Bisping never listens to me if I start the read. So he will just completely repeat the points that I just said 95% of the time. 95%.
No. You are so full of shit. Because I I do listen because when you do start it, I listen because I know the reason you think I'm not listening is because I'm having to look at my phone because all the copy is on the phone, right? And as I'm looking at the copy, I'm like, this motherfucker is saying all the points. He's like, just reads out all the back and forth and allows me to have to like really give the personal endorsement, which I stand by and which are true. But you fucking steal all the easy.
So you do it on purpose? You purposely just repeat the lines?
No, I do not. But let me tell you about you. It isn't what you say. It isn't what you say. Here's the annoying things about Lewis. Number one, leaning back to Harrington, okay? Leaning back to the sycophants to get points off them when I'm a fucking MMA master. I've spent my entire life. Okay, here's another one, right? I'm on the couch. We got a three-hour time. Oh, Lewis getting all offended now. No, serious.
Keep on talking shit, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, James, that look in his eye, your child. Yeah, your child gets on my nerves. I don't like your kid. Okay. And I don't want to hear about your parents anymore. Okay. No, seriously. So, 3 hour time difference. I get up in the morning. It's 7 a.m. here. I come downstairs. I sit. I have my coffee. We start communicating about the show, a couple of little things. Straight away, the phone rings. The phone rings. And Lewis, on his ADD medication and everything else, speaking at me. It's not a conversation. You talk at me, right? You talk at me for like 20 minutes straight. I can't get a word in. And then you just hang up. You don't say bye. You just go, easy show today. So here's the thing. And bye. And that's it. Dude, don't say
by the way,
you're lying. You didn't say bye.
I'm not even lying.
Say bye. You just hang up.
This has been a complaint of my friends and girlfriends and everybody I've known for years. It's funny you're mentioning it because I know you're not lying. I don't even notice it. I'm always have shit going on. So by the time the phone call ends.
Lewis, I'm just getting started. There's many more things. This isn't the one thing. This isn't the one. This is one of many. But we'll leave it there. We still want to have this show on Monday. Do you know what I mean?
True.
So we'll leave it with you not saying bye on the phone. That's pretty annoying.
Well, people hate it, dude, because they'll be still talking and I'm gone. And they're like, So anyway, hello? Hello?
Like, we're friends. We've known each other a long time now. So it's like, I'm comfortable with it, you know, whatever. But I'm like, yeah. So anyway, Bob. He's done it again. He just hangs up the phone. It's not hard to just go, yeah, okay, doggy, bye. All right, take care. Talk to you later. See ya. Bye.
What happens is by the time the end of the conversation comes, this is what goes on. And this is my crazy mind. I've already moved on to whatever else is going on in my life mentally, right? So I'm just sort of done. By the time the words bye are coming out of my mouth, I'm already into my next thing. So it's just sort of like I cut out that little space right there.
But that's why I want to converse via text, because the conversations, it's not a conversation. You have verbal diarrhea down the phone, a one-way conversation for 45 seconds and then just hang up. You bark at me for about roughly a minute and then that's it. You just hang up. I'm like, that's not a conversation. You get up, you say everything that's on your mind, you get the points off your chest, then you tell me how it is and then you hang up and I'm like, yeah, that was a shitty conversation. It wasn't a conversation. So now when you call, you'll notice I say, No, text, motherfucker, because at least then we can go back and forth and you can't hang up on me, okay? So fuck you. We got one more question.
What else have we got?
All right. C. Mullig has an audio question that he sent in. So,
hey, I got a question for Michael Bisping. Do you believe that fighters go out and hunt down supplements that are contaminated with chemicals they want to put in their body, like certain PEDs, so they have a get out of jail free card? Kind of like, I don't believe that Nate Diaz was doping, but maybe who's that big Cuban dude that actually won a case? Maybe he really won on that one, huh? And have you guys seen Brendan We're Coming For You on Vimeo video? Keep up the good work, you guys rock.
I don't know.
Go on, Brendan. Hey, what's up, buddy? Sorry, go on, Lewis. No, I haven't seen Brendan We're Coming For You. I actually have no idea what he's talking about.
Are they popping shit? Are they popping shit?
Alfie, shut the hell up.
No, Alfie's pissed. Alfie does not like the fighter and the kid talking shit. He's on our side.
All right, let's go find him. Let's take Alfie. Let's get our dogs and go get Brian Callen and Brendan Sharpe.
Guys, you better leave now. You don't want to get caught in traffic.
Yeah, it's true.
What kind of dog have you got, Lewis? Bring your dog. I'll bring Alfie.
I got a little Jack Russell Terrier.
We'll set the Jack Russell and Brian Callen and the German Shepherd can get Brendan Sharpe. Going back to the question, do you know, I did think a while ago that if anyone was ever taking steroids, because I think, who was it once? It was a Brazilian. They tested positive for something. It was Lyoto Machida. Lyoto Machida, you saw it showed up at his house. And again, if I'm wrong here, I apologize. But you know, it's a podcast. We're having a discussion. This thought did enter my mind. He had USADA show up at his house, and when he was there, he declared to them, oh, I'm using this supplement, which I think has this product in. And lo and behold, it was the product, sorry, the steroid that he tested positive for. Hmm. Right? And I'm just wondering if that's like, you could have a get out of jail free card there. Now, you might still get suspended, and I think he did. But in the court of public perception, you soften it a little bit. You might not get banned for quite as long. And the public thinks, oh, well, he was a victim of a contaminated supplement. He wasn't actually juicing. Now, I don't know if that is the case. That is pure speculation. But that did cross my mind. And the answer to the question for me is, I don't know. I actually have no idea. I'd like to think that the answer is no, and that fighters have more morals, you know, moral turpitude than that to go into a fight cheating. But people do fucking cheat. People look for shortcuts, Lewis.
And also on top of that, I mean, why would anybody put the supplement into their body that's contaminated? That doesn't make any sense. I think what would be more likely, and you said this on the show a while ago, and I did sort of think that this would probably be the case. There's probably some little fucking cheaters list of the supplements that are contaminated, and if you get caught for it, they already know. Like, if you get caught, just so you know, these are the supplements that are contaminated. So at the very least, you can create a little bit of doubt. At the very least, you could save sort of a, you know, and especially now, the bad part about Yoel, even if Yoel wasn't cheating, the bad side of it, right, is the fact that USADA is now admitting that they make mistakes and that there's things that are falling through the cracks and this Nate Diaz thing. So now it's like, anybody who is cheating gets to go, well, look, hold on, what are you talking about? Yoel, Nate, USADA makes mistakes all the time, and it's sort of inconclusive. So, you know, it has to be a little bit more clear, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I guess, you know, I know that USADA, they are a third-party agency. They are not, it's not a government agency. This is a private business that they get paid a lot of money, and I know that, you know, it would be criminal for them to accept bribes and other shit. That's not the way it works. They can't go and do that. So I do believe them that they're trying to keep the sport safe. But I do think that there's been some inconsistencies recently that are going to allow cheaters in the future to get off a little bit easier.
Yeah, it gives them a scope that if they've got a good imagination or they've got a devious mind, they can maybe concoct a way to soften the blow of being caught. Mm-hmm. Now, with this Nate Diaz thing, and we spoke about this last week, I think, with everybody claiming, sorry, some people claim, oh, Nate Diaz said, you sort of asked him to stay quiet about it, and you think they're trying to cover things up, and Luke Thomas is very anti-USADA, the fucking moron that he is. So here's the thing. USADA are paid for by the UFC. The UFC brought in USADA to clean up the sport. The UFC do not want USADA to bust the fighters. That's detrimental to the UFC. It's detrimental to their product and what they're trying to sell to the public. They don't want guys like Diaz to be pulled from a card 2 weeks before a fight. They don't want that. That's not good for business. It's not good for people that have already bought tickets. It affects pay-per-view sales. But they are trying to clean up the sport, and I commend them for that. It's a very honorable thing that they're doing. They're trying to create a level playing field and eradicate the possibility of cheating. Now, the problem is the testing has got so goddamn good. It's so minute and tests in such fine detail, they're finding the tiniest trace amounts that will give you no performance enhancement ability, but it's still enough for them to fail a test. So they need to review it a little bit. They need to try and figure out, but I'm not the guy, I'm not the scientist, I don't have the answers, but they need to adjust the testing criteria a little bit. But I still think what USADA are doing, what the UFC are doing by paying for USADA, is the right thing.
Yeah.
It's the correct thing. It's going to help fighters. It's going to make it a safer place. It's going to hopefully stop a potential death one day. And it's all done for the right reason. So these anti-USADA fucking assholes that are out there talking shit, saying, oh, it's ridiculous, just do away with it, you fucking morons, and they've never stepped into a competitive playing field in their life. They've never stepped into a weightlifting competition, let alone a competition where someone is trying to knock you fucking unconscious. And if they had, yeah, they'd want a level playing field as well. They would not want a playing field where one guy can get away with taking massive performance enhancing drugs. Okay, so go fuck yourself, all you assholes out there. And on that note, I think we say goodbye. We wrap this one up. UFC 244, very excited. I'll watch it on a 6-inch screen at a dinner table on Saturday. You will watch it in something similar.
6 inches. But 6 inches is huge, baby boy.
Bro, it's significant. If you know how to use 6 inches, oh my God, you can have a whale of a time, let me tell you. Enjoy your weekend. Have a great one. Brian Harrington, Lewis, everyone at Gas Digital, thank you very much. Lewis, what you got to sign off, baby boy?
I just want to say, looking forward to the fights this weekend. Thank you guys for supporting the show. We love all the feedback, all the positivity on YouTube. Keep on leaving us those comments. And just do me a favor, right now, if you really want to help the show, the number one way you could help the show, just go share it with a friend. Go send this episode to a buddy that you think might get a kick out of it. You know, maybe send it to somebody that doesn't even like MMA, because I think that they'd still enjoy the show. And we love the fact that you guys share it, and we really appreciate it. And happy Halloween to everyone. Go enjoy your holiday. Trick or treat safely. Make sure you check your kids' candy and all that other shit. Do you check your kids' candy? No.
I eat my kids' candy, so I guess that I'm kind of checking it. I'm quality controlling it. I eat it all. Lucas gets so pissed off. He gets very, very upset.
You ever watch the, I just don't have the heart to do it, but it's one of the funniest fucking things ever. You're the Jimmy Kimmel, I ate my kids' candy.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. It is funny. It's great. Mean.
It's so mean.
It's good.
Yeah.
Oh, Lucas gets so pissed off, though, because I steal all of it. But still, everyone, go out there. Enjoy worshiping these demons, these pagan gods. Go out there. Dress up like a slut. Make a fool out of yourself. Drink too much. Be provocative. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the fights. Make some money. Go to betdsi.com. Pledge your bets. Listen to my picks. Look after yourself. Take care.